This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
CBS Sunday after the Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions. If you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday after the Equalizer on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Good evening, Bucknutters. Welcome to What We Learn Live, following just a mundane Ohio State victory, no big deal. 17-14 over Notre Dame. Oh, wait, it looked like they were dead in the water, and somehow the Buckeyes pulled it out. 17-14 over Notre Dame. I'm Dave Biddle. Welcome to What We Learn Live. We're going to hear from Dan Rubin. We're going to hear from, eventually, from Patrick Murphy and Steve Hellwagon live from Notre Dame Stadium. Dan's going to join me in just a few moments. There's two choices here, right? I mean, you could like be like, well, upset about all the things that went wrong, or just be like, just win, baby. I'm going to choose the latter. And trust me, I spent most of the game pretty pissed off about some of the stuff that I was seeing. But to emerge victorious, we said before the game, I don't care if you win by 1 point, just win. They did that. So, in the weeks, we still will on the show. We'll still talk about it on the show, but we can really break down what's wrong with this team in future episodes. But wow. I'm trying to think of the last time Ohio State really escaped with a win like that. Maybe like it reminded me a little bit of like maybe the Rose Bowl, you know, against Arizona State. Help me out, guys. I'm trying to think of a game where it was just like, well, it was close, kind of low scoring. Okay, well, we're not going to win this one. This one was even more shocking than I think. I mean, the Rose Bowl wasn't shocking. That was just a long drive by Joe Germain. Got a touchdown, David Boston. Just win, baby. Jeez. I tell you what. And you look at it, I mean, Penn State looks good. Michigan doesn't look good. Michigan didn't look good against Bowling Green, who's not even a good team. I'm not saying they're not a good team like for like Big Ten standards, for MAC standards. Bowling Green's one of the worst teams in the MAC, and Michigan struggled with them today. They did beat Rutgers 31-7, but we'll see. So it's not like Ohio State has this juggernaut Michigan team, but Ohio State has a lot of stuff they have to figure out. I don't like – now, eventually, the last play of the game, finally, they just ran, was like yelling, like, just run it at them with Chip, and that's what they did. I don't like on fourth and 2 inches doing a wide receiver sweep with Emeka. I mean, that's just playing into the soft narrative. Are these guys soft? No, they're not soft. These guys are tough guys. You can't play football at Ohio State and be soft. But, like, that plays into the soft narrative. I didn't like that. And yet they won the game. They won the game. You play to win the game. So, yeah, I mean, I'm still shocked. I'm already looking forward to rewatching the game. I'm going to rewatch the game. I'm going to do my written version of what we learned for the site Monday morning. I don't know if I'm going to rewatch it tonight. It's going to be because we're going to be doing the show for a while. I have to do a radio show here in Columbus, 9 a.m. Tomorrow. So I'm already looking forward to rewatching this game. I'm going to have to rewatch at least that last drive before I call it a night tonight after this post-game show. Appreciate you guys joining me. Again, we're going to hear from Dan Rubin in a moment. We're going to hear from Patrick Murphy and Steve Hellwagon. You know, again, I mean – kudos to the defense. I thought the defense played well. The Josh Fryer penalty, there's a lot of people are like, well, it was stupid on Josh Fryer to jump back on him. Am I wrong? I mean, like, that happens all the time in football. They never call that. Guy pancakes his man, and then he jumps on him. It wasn't like he, like, I don't know. Like, he was, like, jumping off the top rope like he was a wrestler. He didn't, like, spear him. He just dove back on his man. You see that all the time. You pancake a guy, and you jump back on him. They never call that. They called it, and Ohio State picked up a huge third down with a Mecca, and it's like they're going to put the game away. Nope. That gets called back. Ohio State punts. Notre Dame takes it down. Notre Dame takes the lead, 14-10. Buckeyes get the ball back. They have the play I referenced earlier where they have a fourth, and I'm like, just do a quarterback sneak. I don't know why they're so averse to running the quarterback sneak. Pop, I mean, Ryan Day used to coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. Just pop on a tape of the current Philadelphia Eagles. You don't have to have Jalen Hurts, but, like, just if you need 2 inches, quarterback sneak, push. Get somebody behind him to push. I mean, what's the problem? Anyway, somehow they won. I didn't like the call on Fryer, but some people thought, no, that was a good call. I thought Tyleek Williams played well. We learned Tyleek Williams played super well in this game. Thank goodness Marvin is not seriously hurt. I'm sure I'm a lot like you guys. Like, I was thinking, like, man, that looked bad. I was thinking, oh, great. Here we go. Second straight year in a Notre Dame game. Top receiver for the Buckeyes out for the season. Thank God he was able to come back. I was even thinking, even if he could come back, I was like, don't even put him out there. Like, he's like, he can't be 100%, but thank goodness Marvin's not hurt. But yes, I see some. Yes, thank you. Keep him coming in here. Rachel Brown, what about the Harrison catch called incomplete? That was a catch, 100%. And it took them, I'm like yelling, it took them until like after halftime to like talk about how the fact, oh, it really, because they were like, oh, his arm, his wrist landed out of bounds. I'm like yelling like, yeah, but he caught it before then. Like, he caught it. Like, it doesn't matter. And his foot was down. His foot was down and he caught it. It doesn't matter then if his wrist was out of bounds. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Yeah, I mean, his foot was down. It was a bad call. And for them to call that a catch on the field and then, like, reverse it, are we not used to that, though? Jeez. Goodness gracious. Sorry, I'm moving some things around here. There we go. All right, my friends, keep the questions coming, the comments coming. We're going to hear from Dan Rubin in a moment. I still can't believe it. I'm still sitting here like flummoxed. Like, I cannot believe they won that game. I'm sure I'm like a lot of you. I'm like, geez, that it just felt like an L. They pulled victory out of the jaws of defeat, and I love it. I love it. Defense played great. Kudos to the defense. Kudos to the defense. And people are like, yeah, good to see Ryan Day fired up. You know, good to see him fired up. I would also like to hear him live by his own words, though. We're going to let it rip. We're going to be aggressive. And he sees things like, I don't know. I didn't see that offensively at all. And I don't think it's a good Notre Dame team. I mean, good. I bet they finished 9-3. All right, Dan Rubin joins the show.
Dan, how goes it?
Publisher. I tell you what, man, you and I were texting. I thought this game was over, and I was going to need to take a walk before we did the show. And somehow the Buckeyes pull it out. Here, I'll let Dan get his. There we go. Can you hear me? All right, we have a little technical difficulties. We'll get the publisher in here in just a moment. Jeez. I need to, you know, I'm like yelling at the screen that when they got stopped on fourth down, they had the timeout. It's 2 inches. Just run up there and do a quarterback sneak. It's not hard. But they won. Just win, baby. To escape with that win is huge. Just look at the 2002 team. How many times did they escape with a win?
There we go.
All right.
We won, right?
That's right. Just win, baby.
Are you sure?
I think so. It's yep, they did. It's confirmed. Ohio State won.
Holy cow, Dave. we are running live also at a wild party at Denison, and we are on the big screen. So my son is fighting off a lot of non-Ohioans, especially Neymar. Anyway, that was incredible. I'm not going to show you my notes because it's not a lot of positives, a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
I agreed to come on the show, and we were winning, and then we started losing, and I was regretting my decision. But what an incredible game. I really kind of feel like I'm a little bit in shock. I'm not, because I'm trying to think of like specifics to share with you. And a lot of it is just pure relief and sweat.
What did you think about, were you yelling at the screen like I was at times? Like, just do a quarterback sneak. There was like many times like yelling, like just do that. Ryan Day knows more about football than I ever will. But I'm like, what is he doing? Like, why are you not just running up there and doing a quarterback sneak? And then after the timeout on fourth and inches, you're running a wide receiver sweep with a Mecca. What are you doing? Finally, on the last play, they got it right, Dan. Run right at him.
I was also just thinking of what it was going to be like on the site and to have been inside the 5-yard line X number of times and have no points and people talking about how we can't block on the edge and we're not tough enough. And to pull it out like that, and literally, it's like they literally pushed it. I can't remember a game I've watched for a team that I cared that much where they just pushed every single thing to the absolute edge, brink of death. Like JT didn't make a play, it felt like, all day. And then he made two plays we had to have down the stretch. I give Marvin Harrison a ton of credit for making that diving catch with the bad ankle. I'm very happy for Emeka Egbuka because he had a great game and a terrible drop in the end zone that would have was a legitimate 4-point drop. I'm happy for Josh Fryer because that penalty would have – that was a killer. They were driving, and he took a terrible, terrible penalty and got us behind the eight ball. I'm just relieved, man. Happy and relieved. Everything is still intact. And I give Kyle McCord a ton of credit, man. I just sent someone a text. How'd you like to be Kyle McCord's dad right now? Think you're feeling pretty good? Think you're feeling pretty good? I think so. So just incredible.
I think he's willing to run too. You know, not that, he's tough. He's willing to run. I like that he's willing. Not that he like did a great job on the ground, but McCord is willing to run. He's a tough dude.
And he made a number of clutch throws, man. I mean, Julian Fleming getting, you know, what he needed. If he needed 8 yards, he got 8.3 yards. That was a great play. And, you know, he was able to work the middle of the field beautifully. I mean, he shows you that when he's able to set his feet and deliver the ball down, he throws the ball in the middle of the field beautifully. Stover had a couple great catches. He also had, I literally think, the luckiest catch in the history of organized sports. We'll take it. But, you know, now when you pan back, I was a little upset with the defense and kind of, you know, they just got manhandled in the second half and kind of pushed around. But if you tell someone you're going to go to Notre Dame for a night game, you're going to give up 14 points where they've been scoring, what, 40? I would have taken that before the game, wouldn't you?
For sure. I'm happy with the defense. I don't know, man. When we push this forward, yeah, can they beat Penn State? Yes. Can they beat Michigan? Michigan does not look impressive at all to me. But still, man, I want to see more out of this offense. I'm disappointed we're 4 weeks into the season, and this was what we saw. And thank God they won the game. But, like,
I think that's
fair. I'm trying to keep it positive. They won the game. Like, they just win, baby. I get it. But, like, I need to see more out of this offense. I'm not impressed.
Well, also, Dave, keep in mind, you sent me a text saying that we're going to push the show back because you were feeling violent. So that adrenaline needs to go through your body first. So you can really get back to feeling good. Yeah, listen, the offense has been uneven at best. I mean, they did make several clutch plays. Travion Henderson, I thought, you know, he's looking like we expected him to look. I really don't know what to say about it, though, because the one play that got me the worst was the play to Egbuka. on the like an end around on fourth and one. You just can't do that. You can't do that. That was going to open them up to.
It was a.
I mean, we were going to get 150,000 page views in the front row just on that one play. Now we're only going to get 50,000, but still, it was. Good Lord, I've never been through a game like that because it wasn't high scoring. We need to quit drugs. That's not very nice. There's some very. I will tell you this. Yeah, if you could see all these.
Picked a bad week to quit sniffing glue. Yeah. I guess. Vic Varr over here.
Lloyd Bridges. But if
I think he's telling on himself, actually.
Yeah, I'm saying if you look at all these notes here, I don't think our team was drug or our viewers were drug free and or alcohol free. But good Lord. I'll tell you what, though, it does take a ton of pressure off of them. And did you see Ryan Day before the game and after the game? Did you see his? I've never seen him like that. His voice cracked a couple times. You know, he was fired up, man. And I give him a lot of credit because, you know, he would have taken some serious crap this week, Dave. I mean, what do you think would have happened? Do you think they would have been lined up? I mean, the torches would have been out from some. I got a couple texts from people I trust who are normally pretty even keeled that were sending me torchlight simply because of the play call. So it takes a ton of pressure off of them. And like you said, the offense is not where the defense is right now. That's hard to even say out loud and know that I'm talking about Ohio State. But look, man, no one's gonna care about this if they hit their stride and get rolling. Where are they going to be ranked now, you think?
Florida State won. They'll probably stay it. Did anybody lose in the top five?
You don't think they'd pass Florida State?
No. No. Not at all. No way. This wasn't an impressive win. It just wasn't. I mean, they were favored by three. They won by three. Kudos. I feel like Ohio State got lucky. To an extent, I also thought there was some bullshit. Like, I thought that call on Fryer was not a good call.
Right.
You see it all the time in football where a guy pancakes his man and then he jumps on him. They never call that. And that was on a third down when they call that. So, I say Ohio State's lucky. I don't know. I think if they played 10 times, Ohio State would win at least six. So I think Ohio State's the better team. But I feel like the Buckeyes got a little lucky. And we're lucky that Max is going to join the show here.
Yeah, I mean, excellent. I will tell you this. I mean, they did get lucky. They did drop two intercepts. I mean, Tuamalo had his hands on that. Tyleek Williams, I know they're defensive linemen. But there were a couple of plays that could have gone either way. I mean, there's no question they did get some luck. But look, when Kyle McCord got the ball back, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah. And by the way, it is a good win. For those that are just joining us, I said, trust me, good win. It almost was a bad loss. Good win. Funny how one play can change a football game, huh? Good win. Yeah, Dan Rubin, good stuff, my friend.
It was impressive, Dave. I'm sure we'll talk about this more on Monday when I can come back to myself. Oh, there he is. Bax, you stayed sober for this, I hope.
I absolutely did. Don't you worry. I'm in Canada. They don't have booze here.
No one drinks in Canada.
No one. Not one person.
That's great, man. So the Canadian fans well represented. What'd you think, man?
You know, it is absolutely wild how different we feel right now based on one-yard run by Chip Traynham. I mean, we were burying them, right? Like, the D was tired. We couldn't get a first down. They were getting mauled by the Notre Dame offensive line. It had the air of defeat written all over it. And then JTT made a couple plays. And I tell you what, Kyle McCord tonight, no matter how frustrated we have been with some of the decisions he's made, no matter how lucky he kind of got on some of these picks, at the end of the day, he just took Ohio State 65 yards in less than 90 seconds to win on the road at Notre Dame. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. So I think the number one thing, though, what do we ask all offseason? Is the defense fixed? Yeah, they're fixed. We just got to make sure the offense gets itself together by the time we get going into the Big Ten schedule now. So it's like Dave said, it's a huge win. It would have been an awful loss, but it's now like a huge win. And I think we're all sitting here kind of rallying around Ryan Day after that post game interview.
I love it. Dan, thank you for your time. I'll let you go
get back
to your Denison basketball party.
It's more than basketball. There are soccer players and football players there, but very few Ohio State fans, if you know Denison. So everyone who's there is not from Ohio State. You just suffer.
It's so weird. It's a Central Ohio college, and there's not Ohio State fans there. That's so weird.
I bet there's more than right. Thanks.
See what? So where do you? We have this one. A lot of people are. I want to get your thoughts on the Josh Fryer penalty. You have a rightful one on YouTube saying that was the worst penalty. I didn't think that was a good call, though. Where are you at on the Josh Fryer penalty?
That is the worst call I've ever seen in the history of football.
Well, I mean,
I don't know. But here's the thing. It's worse. It's objectively worse than the Clemson screwings we had, because you could at least try to apply a rule to it. That was a pancake block. And Ohio State converted a third and long and was on like Notre Dame's 25 or 30 going in up a score. If we had lost, we would have spent the next hour furious about that call, because that call literally changed the football game. This is a gift from the football gods that Ohio State won this game. And I think it's directly related to the bad karma from that absurd penalty. That's football. That's block. I don't know what else Josh Fryer could do there. It's a great play.
Yeah, and by the way, for those that are just tuning in, kudos to Ohio State for winning this game.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. We said coming in, just win it by one. Yeah, it was frustrating. Yeah, I thought they left a lot to be desired. They came out a W, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. Good teams win, great teams cover. Ohio State even did that.
They pushed.
That was absolutely a call from Vegas. Like the NBC booth got a call from the Bellagio Sportsbook and said, hey, there's 1 second left. Kick the extra point. That's exactly.
Now, unless you got it at 2.5. Last I saw it was a Buckeyes by 3. I talked about this earlier. We have Michael on Facebook saying, what about Marvin's catch? That was definitely a catch. They missed it. They even called it a catch on the field. Then you even
did everybody forget his foot was in bounds?
TV replay officials are useless. This Terry McCauley, he's like looking at it. He's like breaking it down. I'm like, are you not going to talk about the fact that his foot is down and he caught it?
Yeah, he's already had it in possession in the field of play.
And then they're talking about, his wrist hit out of bounds. It took him back until an hour later to come back and be like, oh, by the way, his foot was down. They just thought he juggled the ball. He didn't juggle the ball. That was just
this was a rough night.
Everybody who's wondering about Marvin, that was just a horrible call.
It was a rough night in general, though. How many spots? So that fourth down Ohio State got stopped on before they turned around and actually went out and won the game. I'm not convinced that Trey Henderson didn't have the first down on both second and third down before they didn't get it on the sweep on fourth. There was a lot of just really bad calls. Like, the Big Ten is a real officiating issue. It's rapidly becoming the new Pac-12 when it comes to just abysmal officiating. But you know what? Losers complain about the referees, and Ohio State came through it. And, you know, when Ryan Day was in the interview after the game and he talked about how tough his team was, you know what this was? This is one of those, like, grow up and shed your skin and become a beautiful butterfly and you're not a caterpillar anymore moments. Like, I didn't think – I honest to God, Dave, let me ask you this. When they got the ball back and they showed Kyle McCord's face, I thought he looked scared. I really did. I thought he looked scared. And I had zero faith he was going to do what he did. And then he did it, and he made some throws. That throw to Egbuka to the 1 yard line is an elite throw. So if this is what Kyle McCord had to go through as a new starting quarterback to take that step, like, this is life. This is sports. You suck and suck and suck, and then all of a sudden you do it once. You realize you can do it, and you get better, and you get better and better and better and better. How many quarterbacks in the history of Ohio State football have won on the road at Notre Dame with a touchdown drive of more than 50 yards in less than 2 minutes? Like, that's a big deal.
Oh, it must be the Penn State game. I was going to say, somebody I think even said that. Oh, my. Somebody even said the Penn State game in 2002. When's the last time you thought Ohio State very late in a game, this game's over probably, and they still won?
Wisconsin 2012, when Ryan Shazier caused the fumble on the goal line late in the fourth quarter and we won in overtime. That was it. But my initial thought, because Jay Book asked me that after the game, was Miami. Like, literally the Fiesta Bowl was my first thought of, wow, this has been that long since we pulled defeat or victory from the jaws of defeat. Maybe here's another one, Dave, I got for you. The 2-point conversion at the end of the Michigan game. That's another one.
What, Tyvus, the interception?
Tyvus Powell with the interception. Was that 2013 or 14, one of those 2013,
2 years? A bad Michigan team and still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought we were going to lose, and then Tyvus picked it off because he didn't 41. Run it.
Yep.
Oh, yep. My God. Then maybe that. But it's been like a decade since we've had a game like this where we're like, oh, my God. Oh, God. The repercussions on Twitter. Everybody's rapidly deleting tweets. Like, and then now that we've won.
I'm leaving mine up. I know I talk some shit on Twitter. I don't care. Like, I said,
well, I have never deleted a tweet that I didn't misspell. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was being fair.
Ryan Day after that game, dude, was 100%. You could see that was him going, oh my God, thank God I don't have to deal with that. Like, that was sheer relief from him.
Hats off to the defense. Hats off to the defense. I mean, I love what I'm seeing out of this defense. Like, was it perfect? No, but it's still exactly what I wanted to see. It's not going to be perfect. It's football. They look like a silver bullet defense. They're physical. They're fast. Overall, I mean, I don't know why Mike Hall didn't start the game. Nothing against Ty Hamilton. But I need Tyleek played great. I need Mike Hall and Tyleek out there as much as possible.
Tell you what, Dave. Can I officially check the box? Check. Defense is fixed. They might not get as much pressure as people want with four, and I agree with that, right? Like, that's a very fair assertion that they need to get more pressure. But you know what? Last year's defense gives up 30 in this game. Like, just to be candid, right? Our guys ground and ground and ground. Notre Dame had to grind them down in the second half, running for 3, 4, 5 yards at a time. I mean, that – look, at the end of the day, that D gave up 14 points. What have we done this year? 4 games, 34 points against. You can't ask for more. You can't ask for more than that. That's an awesome performance by our D. And despite JTT not maybe having the giant impact Penn State game last year style like everybody wanted, that last drive, he put us in position to win the football game with those two plays on first and second down, period. And then Notre Dame chickened out and ran the ball on third down, which was hilariously stupid. They were trying to make a 15-yard pass. Why wouldn't you do that? So, you know, credit to the D, man. The D won this football game. Even though Kyle McCord went down and took care of business, the D won the football game because they only gave up 14 points on the road to a top 10 team. That's awesome.
Let's talk running backs. Trey had the 61-yard touchdown. I thought Chip looked good as well. I'm good with that. I'm good with both of them playing. I'm not trying to pick sides here. I like both of them. Where are you at on the running backs?
I think Trey's going to be your mainline guy because that 61-yard run, nobody else on that running backfield is going to get that extra burst 30 yards to beat that safety to the corner, right? But, you know, they did this early in the game too. Mayan had the goal line carry, and he didn't get it in, so they gave Chip his shot. And Chip, I mean, you want to talk about a guy we brought here to play like backup linebacker, scoring the winning touchdown on the road against Notre Dame. Like, and that's an Ohio kid doing it too, so you got to really love it. I mean, that's just fantastic. At this point, I think Chip is, let's just say he's earning more carries because they reviewed that last play 8,000 times trying to find an excuse to say Ohio State didn't score. And that ball was 100% over. And it was this much is the difference. That was the difference. And Chip, that extra work that Chip put in, that extra give a damn that he had, this much won the football game for Ohio State.
You're right. I'm sitting there like, that's exactly right. I'm like, they're really trying to find any way.
They were desperate.
Not a touchdown. I'm like, that's definitely a touchdown. But until they said for sure it was a touchdown, I'm like, then it was. So, I mean, gritty win. Now that we can, like, reflect on it, go to Notre Dame and win. That's what it's all about. You escape with a win. Great. That's what it's all about.
You know, Dave, at the end of the day, this is one. It doesn't matter what you want it by. It's one of those inflection points in the year, though, because if you lose this game, the vitriol that comes with that, the, you know, lack of confidence. I mean, Kyle McCord might be a wildly different player now because he managed to succeed on that play and that drive, putting the ball in the end zone, right? It was a wildly different story for them to be able to essentially go down the field to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat the way Ohio State did in this game. And I think you're going to see a team. This is a belief moment, right? I mean, how many championship teams have moments in a season where you go, that could have gone very differently, and it didn't. And they grow.
Every team. Yes, yeah. For sure.
So, I mean, and by the way, can I just say this? This is the most fun I've had in a Ohio State football game in a very long time. Like, after we walked away, and I'm like, oh, my God, we won. Holy shnikes, we won. I don't even know. That was so fun. Like, and for Ohio State, where we don't take enough joy from our team. I think we, as especially as Bucknuts folks, right? Like, we are legit nuts, you know? And every single person, whenever Ohio State didn't get that 4th-and-1 when the sweep was sitting there, you know, hell and fire and brimstone and Ryan Day, right? And they got it. They came back. And, I mean, you talk about sports as a metaphor for life, right? Like, where you get a chance, something happens, and it's crazy, and this is your shot. They just took advantage of it. So let's see, you know, what if this is sort of the turning point? This is the hinge. This is the fulcrum where the team goes from, like, I think we can do this, to, you know, I'm pretty damn sure we can do this. We have a week off next week for this team to get healthy. And then Maryland is the next opponent. And Maryland's a good team. What are they, 4-0 right now, I think? I think they beat Michigan State today, right? 4 or 5-0, something like that.
Yep, they're good. 4-0. Yep. And a week off. They have to play Indiana next week.
Did Indiana beat Akron? I saw it was tied last. I haven't even looked at that yet. It was 17-17 in the second half, Dave.
Let's check it out. I know I have not even looked at it. Let's check it out. Let's do this live. Let's look at some Big Ten scores. Did Indiana pull it out over? Oh, third. They're in triple overtime.
Oh my God.
Third overtime. 27 all in Bloomington.
With Akron.
Well, maybe Indiana's actually good. No.
No, Indiana's not good.
They suck.
They're not good. Maybe
Indiana. No.
Hey, Ohio State is 2/3 of the way through sweeping the major schools in Indiana, though. We just got to win at Purdue now. And Purdue looks like a monkey butt. So hopefully the Buckeyes don't go there and pull a couple years ago disaster bird game. But who won the Minnesota game, by the way? Did you see that Northwestern was making a big comeback in that one?
I didn't. Minnesota did win, though, right?
I thought they did.
Northwestern won. Oh, wow. Northwestern won in overtime. Jeez, I'm just getting all caught up. Like, I was laser focused on one game in particular.
Wow. I saw it was on the TV. Like, I'm up in Niagara Falls with my son's hockey team this weekend, and we were all sitting in one of the restaurants here, and it was on another TV. We got so distracted by the Ohio State game, I never paid attention. And we all walked out of there like, I can't believe we won. And I didn't check it before I got on air. So Northwestern beat Minnesota? Oh my gosh. Dude, I'll tell you what, though. You know what the big takeaway for the Big Ten today is? Penn State's the team to beat.
Yeah, I mean, they do look good. And Drew
31-0 or something like that, right? Was it 31-0 that they won today?
I still have the Big Ten page pulled up here. Yeah, 31-0 over Iowa. Wide out conditions. Yeah, and Iowa came in ranked 24th. Ain't going to be ranked anymore.
No. Yeah, Kirk Ferentz is – anyways. But the reality is Penn State's came out this year and done everything you'd ask for them to do, right? They're going to – was it 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now when they come to Columbus? I mean – that's when we need McCord to show – the next couple weeks need to be Kyle McCord shows the confidence he got from, you know, a game-winning touchdown drive on the road against Notre Dame. That's got to carry over to Penn State. And then there's the whole Drew Aller story there. Like, that's the next thing to look forward to. So it's going to be real interesting to see the next couple weeks here, because October is the scary month for Ohio State. Like, when we were talking about this back in, like, the spring, October was the month we all went, ugh, at Purdue. Ugh, Wisconsin with Luke Fickell. Ugh, Penn State. So this is a big deal that they're in this position going forward, but now we got to, you know, take a deep look and see those games. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I love the Gary Housedew shout out from Michael on YouTube. Gary, rest in peace. One of the great Buckeyes. Rest in peace, Dwayne Long.
Dwayne hated Notre Dame. God bless him.
Guys last year, like, great Buckeyes. They're both up there loving the fact that the Buckeyes won tonight. Let me ask you this. I'll get you out of here on this. So, Ryan Day, I loved his attitude coming into the game. I love what he said before the game and after the game. We're going to let it fly. We're going to do this. Did he live up to that during the game, though? I mean, maybe we got to give Notre Dame credit. Notre Dame's defense is good, but, like, did you feel like Day lived up to his words?
No, I don't. I don't. Like, I know he went for, like, a 4th-and-goal and 4th-and-1. I thought that there was a lot of scared stuff we did to try to protect McCord in this game. You know, as happy as I am right now that we won that game, going even back to that last drive, why the hell didn't we take a timeout when we stopped them? We let the clock run down an extra 40 seconds, right? And thank God we had the time to get that last playoff, right? But I did not understand that at all. I didn't give yourself all the time in the world. We're not getting chunk plays. Ryan Day, you know, he ground the ball a lot on running in the running game. I didn't think we did a lot of plays to put McCord, like, you know, in position to succeed at times. There's a lot of checkdowns. We got lucky at times. Thanks, IU won. Appreciate it, Cody. But, like, at the end of the day, like, I think Ryan Day at times coached a little scared. That fourth and one sweep reminded me of when we didn't run Carlos Hyde up the frickin' middle against Michigan State. Instead, ran Braxton to the outside and hoped that our tight end could hold a block. What the hell were we doing? Get every offensive lineman in the backfield, declare him eligible, take the snap, and drive his ass forward. Like, that's insane to me. So that got papered over. But, you know, Ryan Day did not have necessarily his best night. And I'm thrilled they won. And after that post-game interview, me and everybody else who's kind of worrying about him has his back pretty heavily at this point, right? I think now it's a how do you do against Penn State? Let's talk in November in Ann Arbor sort of moment for him to sort of silence the doubters, right? But there was a lot of stuff tonight that I think Ohio State played a little tentatively when it came to being aggressive offensively, when it came to just get that yard. Like, when we were on the goal line in the first half where we got stopped on that random, like, McCord bootleg and throw into coverage, right? Where McCord is, like, locking in on Stover. And that's another thing I hope happens from this final drive, is that he stops locking in on Stover every time he's concerned. But, you know, we have third and goal on the three, and we didn't have McCord or Egbuka on the field. Or not McCord, Marvin or Egbuka on the field. Like, what are we doing? Look, those are your two best players, and they're not even on the field for the final two plays to get you into the end zone. They were on the field the last, by the way. They had the threat. Notre Dame had to account for them. You could see the evolution. Maybe that's a credit to Ryan Day recognizing the mistake he made in the first half. But at the end of the game, whenever we scored from the one-yard line, it's because we had Marvin and Egbuka at the bottom of the screen. And they had the safety and the two guys covering them down to the side. So we had the numbers mismatch in front. And that allowed Chip to get that space. But Ryan made some questionable play calls tonight. And he got lucky. We won the game. Yes, his team is tougher than hell. You know, hey, let's go Bucks, 4-0, right? You won at Notre Dame. Everything else is chaff. But I don't feel like they, quote, let it fly in this game. Not offensively, at least.
Well, thanks for hopping on, my friend, and appreciate your insights. What a nice W.
Yeah, this is my favorite Ohio State win from Canada ever, eh?
Is it the only one?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've never been in Canada for an Ohio State football game before, but I will say this at this point, unless we play them in a bowl game, Ohio State's winning streak over Notre Dame is officially approaching a century now.
I know. So it'd be great. We're now 6-0 in our lifetime.
I think it's 7-0, isn't it?
In our lifetime? Unless you're older than me.
No, it's 6-0. You're right. It was two bowl games, the two 90s games, and then these two. You're right. So it's 6-0. I've never seen Ohio State lose to Notre Dame, and I hope to live a very long and extensive life. Not even 40 yet, but you know what? I am very happy that the Buckeyes have never lost to Notre Dame in my lifetime, and I'll be even happier whenever we're currently holding the win over Michigan from the most recent game. That's the next big thing. So,
well, good stuff. Can't wait to read the bucket tomorrow. He is the people's champ, Matt Baxendale. Thank you, Bax. Good stuff, buddy.
Have a good night, Bucknuts. Be happy. That's a big win. Thanks for having me on, Dave.
Thanks, bud. He is Matt Baxendale. We're going to hear from Patrick Murphy and Steve Hellwagon eventually after post-game interviews. Wow. I'm still sitting here. I still can't believe what we saw. Great win. Great win. You know, as I said earlier, you can pick it apart. And we kind of did. But bottom line is just win. And they did that. They're sitting here. They're 4-0. They're still a top six team. They're going to be eventually a top five team. Just keep winning. I really feel like the only two teams that could beat them are Penn State and Michigan. I guess maybe at Wisconsin, but Wisconsin has not looked that good to me. Still, it's at Wisconsin. You know, Luke's going to have his guys ready. They're a good team, but I think Ohio State would have to, like, beat themselves. I think Notre Dame's a better team than Wisconsin. And Ohio State was able to go in there and get the job done. And speaking of Notre Dame Stadium, let's welcome in Steve Hellwagon. live from South Bend. Steve, welcome to the show.
It's a little chaotic here, Dave, as you might imagine.
After
what we just witnessed.
I love that you're here on the show. So give me your initial thoughts, man. Did you think what are your initial thoughts? Just win, baby? Where are you at on this?
Man, what a crazy game. To see the number of chances that they had that they failed to punch in. I mean, third and goal at the one in the first half, and then fourth and goal at the one and not get it. And then fourth and one there with about 4.5 minutes to go and not get it on the Abuka end around. So it came up one more time at the 1 yard line with 3 seconds left somehow, some way. And I had a sneaking suspicion in that set as Trianum was lined up right beside him that they may just hand him the ball here because you honestly have nothing to lose. The whole playbook's open at that point. Because this is the last play. There is no other play. If he comes down in bounds, the game's over. I mean, the clock runs out. So, to me, that was a stroke of brilliance. And they caught Notre Dame completely off guard with that play. Obviously, Notre Dame may have only had 10 players on the field. This is a tribute. And, of course, Coach Day has been just absolutely defiant here after the game. With his comments, I'm sure some people have probably reported some of that, or you probably saw it on NBC as they were going off the air, just very pointed comments about the comments that Newholtz made, basically saying Ohio State was a soft team and was not a lunch pail team. And that was a strike across the bow. Now, for 59 minutes and 58 seconds, Newholtz's words were somewhat vindicated, but the only play that mattered was the one that ended with 1 second left, and he put that ball over the goal line somehow. And they get out of here with a 17-14 win. You know, I was sitting here with a few minutes to go, and I'm like, just throw it up, get a Holy Buckeye, and get out of here. And this was very similar to Holy Buckeye, just a touchdown in the final minute, final seconds. And they go on the road and take a win here tonight over Notre Dame. Just nothing short of amazing here at South Bend and Notre Dame Stadium. I mean, this place was just absolutely rocking tonight. And great tribute to their fans and everybody who was here tonight. But, man, Ohio State would not be denied somehow, some way. It was just a crazy evening, no doubt.
We're getting a lot of Lou Holtz shout-outs here on the live feed. But
Lou Holtz.
I mean, but your you know, team obviously,
if you're not physical enough, you're going to lose the game.
Guess what, boys?
Obviously, the Buckeyes are not soft. These guys are tough dudes. But, like, I don't like stuff like it's fourth and inches. You could do a quarterback sneak and easily get it instead of you're doing a wide receiver sweep with a Mecca. I mean, and that's just one of many examples. That's just one play. But there was other plays I'm like, just finally they did, Steve, on that last play. They're just like, listen, we're Ohio State. We're going to run it at you with Chip. Touchdown. But yeah. I just need to see more of that. I want to see more of that. We're going to impose our will. We're not going to be finesse, especially on fourth and inches. By the way, just get up there and do a quarterback sneak. Easy first down.
Yeah. This was just a crazy night, Dave. What can I tell you? They got one out. And Kyle McCord, man, oh, man. Did we see him come alive before our very eyes? 15-play, 65-yard drive to win it. And he had to convert a third down early in the drive. He did that. Had to make a couple more dramatic throws. There's 13 seconds left. And he throws it down to the 1 yard line to Abuka, and they have to run down there and from 20 yards away and run down there and spike it. Now there's 7 seconds left. Throws it to Marvin, the end zone, incomplete. And man, just 3 seconds left. That's all that was left. Just time to run one play. And you know, they found a way to win on a day when they didn't have their best stuff. Let's just put it that way. Defense played lights out, incredible. I gave up 2 touchdowns, one of them a 96-yard touchdown drive by Notre Dame, which you got to tip your cap to Notre Dame for that one. But what a crazy night. In the first half, Dave, Notre Dame had a possession 8 minutes long and didn't score. Ohio State had one 7 minutes long and didn't score. It's like, I see your 8-minute possession. I raise you a 7-minute possession. And we're going to turn it over at the 1 yard line down, fourth down. So, yeah, it was a nutso game, that's for sure.
When's the last nutso game you can remember quite like this? Does this remind you of anything? Like, you know, my sister reached out. She said it reminded her of like 2002 Cincinnati going back.
Yes, Cincinnati, Purdue in 2013. Yeah. 2014, Team of Destiny. I'm trying to think. Penn State was that kind of a scrape, I think, in 2014 in double overtime, where your heart is just leaping out of your chest, you know, on every play. And I turned to somebody here in the interview room while I was watching it unfold, and I just said, I think I'm about to vomit. You know, this is not for the faint of heart. And this
one had a slow build, certainly. It's 3-0 at halftime and probably putting half of America to sleep. But for those who stuck around, they got quite a treat there down the end. And, man, Notre Dame comes away from this just wondering, you know, what should have been, what could have been. And they could not get off the field on that last drive. Ohio State just kept taking it down. I'm going to bow out, let Murph take it from here. He Thanks, just talked Steve. To Knowles. And,
you guys stay out of trouble tonight, okay?
All right.
I'll do anything I wouldn't do. All right, Patrick Murphy. Thank you to Steve Hellwagon. Patrick, welcome in. Patrick is live from Notre Dame Stadium. Wow. I thought the Buckeyes were going to – I know I'm not breaking news here. I thought the Buckeyes were going to lose that game. They gritted it out. They got the win. That's all that matters. Where are you at on this game, Patrick?
Yeah, well, first, I'm sure people have seen the Ryan Day comments. I don't know if you and Steve talked about that, but he came through. I'm standing right by the Ohio State tunnel here. This is the team tunnel. When he came through here, we had to wait and follow the team through. He walks through a big group of people, stands in front of these fans, and just starts screaming, hands up in the air. I mean, it was the Georgia game plus some. I've never seen him like that. Obviously, he was very emotional after the game. I'm sure everybody's seen that stuff, but the way he came through with all the fans right behind us here, it was different. It was really different. And, you know, you hope you get that energy again from Day going forward. Look, it wasn't a perfect game at all, but as he said, they played physical and somehow they figured out a way to get that win.
Jeez, what'd you think of some of the short yardage play calls? Not the last one was good.
Yeah.
The touch right. tunnel win the game was good. Before that, what did you think?
Yeah. Still some questions about the decisions on the calls, you know, the execution. I mean, the weird one for me, I thought it was interesting to bring Caden Curry in as a fullback when you've got Chip Traynham in there. The play action seemed like an obvious play right here, instead of maybe sneaking it with Kyle or something along those lines. You know, that's something they certainly are going to have to look at this next off week and figure those things out. You know, the same with the pass rush, because Sam Hartman had way, way too much time tonight, and other quarterbacks, and not to take anything away from Sam Hartman, are going to pick them apart better than he did if they're not careful. But look, I mean, you know, it's hard to say too much negative about the defense because of what they ultimately did, but it's a much better place to be in, I think, to fix these things after you get an emotional win like that. Imagine losing that game there at the end, and now you have 2 weeks to think about it. Well, now you have to think about it, but you think about it in a very positive sense, and you know that there's still a lot of things to clean up.
How'd you feel like Kyle McCord played, both how he threw the ball and how he responded mentally? How did you feel like he played?
Yeah, I thought he was – I don't know what his final numbers were, but I thought he played – pretty well, given, you know, first big game on the road. Not perfect by any stretch. Ryan Day was asked in the press conference about Kyle being better on third downs, especially on that final drive where he wasn't seeing things, it seemed, until the pressure got ramped up. And Coach Day said he hadn't looked at it that way, but he could certainly see how that's true. He's going to have to watch the film. And I did think that was interesting because he made some big throws. You know, the throw I think it was to Fleming, the one to Emeka that set up the touchdown. He made some big throws throughout the game. Now, he's still got to see the field better. There was at least a couple that I can think of just off the top of my head. I think it was Travion Henderson in the flat one time. He dumps it off. It's a first down. I think he missed Cade. He's still learning. And you're learning on the fly here while trying to, you know, get the job done. He got the win, which is what Ryan Day stressed the most, was he was able to lead the team down there when they needed it the most and get the win. So you know, that's certainly a check plus. But yeah, certainly things he's got to continue to work on. And I think this week comes at a good time for him specifically to go back to the film, these first four games, look at where he got better each week, and then look at where he can still get better. And now he has time to kind of improve on that.
Yeah, I mean, like, just win, right? I mean, like,
yeah,
we said coming into this game, like, if they win by 1 point, who cares? Like, you can get caught up in the minutia and everything and what went wrong. They won this game 17-14, period.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it goes a different way, if it's not right at the end, you're trying to win the game. If it were back and forth and teams just, you know, it was great defense the whole game and maybe not as much of the sloppy offense, it counts the same, right? Now, I know people want to look ahead and think about down the line and Penn State and Michigan and those games, and certainly that will come. And this team has to get better before those games. There's no doubt about that. But you take this win. I mean, again, so much better to leave this stadium celebrating the way they were. I'm going to post the video of them singing Carmen, Ohio. I mean, these guys were going nuts. I tweeted out a video of the touchdown, right after the touchdown and their celebration. This meant a lot to these guys. And, you know, I don't know what the rest of the season is going to include, but, you know, I think this can be, if you can improve on some things, I think this can be kind of a rallying point for this team as long as you continue to get better.
This must really hurt for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, can you imagine, like, I mean, I don't know if – I know you're at Ohio. They always do the press conferences simultaneously. So, like, I know you've even seen the Notre Dame comments. I haven't either. This has got to be crushing for them. Keep in mind, they came into this game knowing they were 0-5 against Ohio State in all of our lifetimes, unless you were alive in 1936 or whatever. And now they're 0-6, and they had this game won at their own place, and the Buckeyes stole it from them. I mean, this is a crusher for Notre Dame, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, they had Marcus Freeman's press conference on in the back of the tiny little room they threw us in, and we couldn't hear it. But just watching him, I mean, I don't want to say despondent, but pretty close. You know, this place was nuts. If you've never been here, this is my first time here. It was a great atmosphere, and, you know, these fans were going nuts at the end. And then credit Buckeye Nation. They showed up in a big way, you know, when things got close there at the end, and then when the Ohio State scored the touchdown, they were loud, and, you know, so this was an awesome atmosphere. One team had to lose, and with the way the game played out, it was going to be super painful either way. Obviously, the side that we're on, everybody watching this probably feels pretty good now, but you're right. You know, Notre Dame, this was a game where you potentially get back on the map on a national stage. Now, if you're Ohio State, you've put yourself in a pretty good position here. Again, I'm going to keep emphasizing this, assuming you continue to improve on things.
Defense really stepped up for the Buckeyes. Yeah. I'll get you out of here on this. Just your thoughts on Jim Knowles and the way this defense played.
Yeah, I thought it was good. We just talked to him. He said he still wasn't happy with some of the explosive plays. They gave up too many, but he liked that they were able to get those stops. You know, and he was asked about not just that last fourth and one, but there were a handful of big stops earlier in the game. You know, the fourth down that had to be reviewed, plays like that that guys made. Denzel Burke, I don't know if they threw to his side of the field the entire game, maybe a couple times. I mean, you know, he's a true lockdown corner that we thought he could be, that we talked about going into the year, that we've seen from Ohio State guys in the past. And this isn't the best group of wide receivers Ohio State's going to see this year, but it's still a good group, and he did his job. The pass rush has to get better, as I said before, but I mean, I think everything else is coming into play nicely. There was a lot of rotation with Jordan Hancock and Sonny Styles. And my thought was Sonny Styles is a guy that you don't have to, I will do that once I get done working at some point tonight, have a nice cold adult beverage. But the rotation for me is interesting. I thought Sonny Styles is a guy that you don't have to rotate out of the game as much. Isn't that the point? But I thought Jordan Hancock played well. Maybe it's just the fact that he deserves it. I think this, you know, I don't want to get ahead of us because we thought this defense was really improving last year, but it does seem to me that this defense is about where you want it to be. To answer that question there, are the Silver Bullets back? Looked pretty good tonight. Looked pretty good tonight.
Pretty good. Patrick, get back to work. Have fun tonight. I'll see you Tuesday at the Ryan Day Press Conference.
Wednesday, it sounds like we're going to do something.
Wednesday. No, we're not doing the official press conference on Tuesday because of the bye week. Okay. All right. Yep. Well, all right. See you Wednesday.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Patrick. He's Patrick Murphy. Great hearing from our guys live from Notre Dame. Our guys on the ground. Fire away with questions. If you guys have already shot some questions my way that I haven't seen, please fire them back my way. You know, I think you got to give Notre Dame credit, obviously. They're a good team. You know, I don't think they're a great team, but I think they're a good team. They're playing at home. They were motivated. They're well-coached. You got to give them credit. There's no doubt. You got to give Notre Dame credit, and they got to be crushed right now. So, listen, it's just, again, I start. Oh, that scared me there for a second. It kind of cut out on me there for a minute. Yeah, we're still going live. Fire away with any questions that you guys have about this game. Or just comments. That's fine, too. Andy on Facebook saying Ryan Day needs that passion for the rest of the season. Yeah, I mean, like, he had the passion, but, like, they were, you know, it's easy to say that when they win the game. They were that close to losing the game. So, I'm going to stick with what I said, with just win, baby. Instead of focusing on some of the negative stuff. Did Tyleek get hurt on the last play? I've heard a lot of people ask this. I'll have to go back and look. I mean, as soon as the game ended, I started getting ready for the post-game podcast. As I told Dan Rubin, I was thinking I might need to go take a walk around the block first, but thank God I didn't need to do that. The Buckeyes took care of business. So, yeah. Donnie's saying that he had that passion before the game. He did. He had that passion, I thought, this week. In general, and then before the game, he had the passion. After the game, he had the passion. But did his coaching match the passion? It's fourth and inches. Why aren't you getting up there? Why aren't you doing tempo, getting up there quickly, quarterback sneak, boom, or whatever? You get up there, you're kind of like pity-patting around. There's a timeout. Then you get stuffed on a wide receiver sweep on fourth and inches. Get up there and just slam that down their throat. And you don't even need to be like – man ball about it. Get up there and go quick. Do a quarterback sneak. Or you do the Philadelphia Eagles with the push. Yet, despite all that, the Buckeyes won this game. They're 4-0. My gosh. Notre Dame, I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't. They finally thought that they had Ohio State beat. These Notre Dame fans are like us. Like, they've seen this 5 times leading into this. They lost to Ohio State, and they thought they finally had Ohio State, and the Buckeyes still beat them in South Bend. That's one that we're going to be talking about for a long time. You see it all the time in sports where you think, like, oh, we outplayed them, but they made a play at the end, and somehow we lost, and it's the worst feeling in the world. So enjoy this. You know, I mean, that's felt like they were going to lose, and they won. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I didn't need all of my teams blowing leads tonight, you know. Buckeyes were up 10-0. And I'm looking at the Reds were up 9-0. 9-0 in baseball. That's hard to lose that lead. And the Reds pulled it off. The Reds lost that lead. They lost 13-12 against the Pirates, no less. So I'm thinking, geez, Reds lost a 9-0 lead. Now the Buckeyes are going to lose a 10-0 lead. At least the Buckeyes won. Who cares about the Reds? Pretty sure the Reds were not going to beat the Braves in a 7-game series anyway, or even a 1-game series. Buckeyes stay alive. And another thing I think that's important to point out is there's not a great team in college football this year. So it's not like you have to be like – there's not like a – even 2019 Ohio State was fantastic. I almost said 2019 LSU. 2019 Ohio State was a fantastic team too. They got robbed against Clemson. 2019 LSU was fantastic though, with Burrow and Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. And J.K. Dobbins would have missed that game probably. He was hurt against Clemson, could barely walk. That's why they had to use Master Teague for the second half. So Ohio State probably would have lost, but still, that was a great Ohio State team in 2019. Great LSU team. Great Alabama team in 2020. Great Georgia team in 2021. I don't think Georgia was great last year. Ohio State should have beaten them in Atlanta, no less. They were still the national champs. My point is, I don't think there's even a Georgia of 2022 this year. Maybe there is. I don't see it. I don't see a great team out there. Georgia, I don't see them three-peating. You trail South Carolina at halftime, 14-3. I don't see it from Georgia. Michigan's number 2. They struggled against Bowling Green. They struggled early today. Then they turned it on against Rutgers. There's not a great team. So just do what you got to do. Win games like this. And really, there's only a few teams. You look at the schedule coming into the year. What do we say? Notre Dame, Penn State, at Wisconsin, at Michigan. Those are the four that could trip you up. Well, you already got one of those in the bag, and it looked like you weren't going to get it. So just get those other three in the bag. Just like it's easy. But you know what I mean? Ohio State can do it. They'll be favored against Penn State. They'll be favored at Wisconsin. They'll probably be underdogs at Michigan. But I don't know. Michigan just does not have that same feel when you look at them. I mean, Rutgers was winning the battle of the line of scrimmage early in that game. Then Michigan had some good plays. Michigan has the better talent. But, man, there's not a great team in college football this year. Just take care of business, and the Buckeyes are going to be exactly where they want to be. TJ saying Vegas knows too much. 3-point spread and the Buckeyes win by three. I know. It always feels that way. Obviously, as you guys know, they're not trying to predict the score. They're trying to get money on both sides. I know I'm not breaking news there, but it does feel that way sometimes. Like, man, these guys are like predicting it. That's what they do for a living. That's why, you know, a lot of times it's like, wow, I can't believe how accurate they were. But they're not actually trying to predict the score. They're trying to get money on both sides. Boy, they did a good job of it tonight. Buckeyes favored by three. Buckeyes win by three. Looked like they were going to lose by four, but the Buckeyes pull it out. Man, that was fun. We had people talk about like 2016 Michigan. I don't know. I mean, I never felt like that game. This one felt more over than that game, I guess, or more like Ohio State was in danger, I guess. They were in danger in both games. And I mean, like when it was like, you know, two plays before the Curtis Samuel or the JT Barrett, you know, got the first down because Curtis had to do before the Curtis walk-off. As you guys remember, he did that one. He got like 9 yards and set up the fourth and one that JT got. So, yeah, that, I mean, 2016 Michigan was obviously, I mean, I can't think of another walk-off touchdown for Ohio State. That was awesome. We almost had one tonight. That didn't technically count. But, yeah, 2016 Michigan, you know, as my sister said, 2002 Cincinnati. You could pick a lot of games from 2002, right? Yeah, the Purdue game in 2013. There's been a lot of them. Obviously, Miami in 2002, obviously, the national championship game against Miami. It looked like the Buckeyes. And not just the fourth and 14, the penalty on Chris Gamble, not on Chris Gamble, that Chris Gamble drew. Looked like the game was over. So, obviously, that's first and foremost. But this was, you know, for a regular season game, this one takes the cake for me as far as I thought the Buckeyes were going to lose the game. Huge game, and yet they pull it out. Jason, do I think Simmons can clean up his play? He leads FBS in penalties over the last 2 years. Yeah, I mean, I think he's been better than he was last year as a redshirt freshman at San Diego State, but it is a concern. That was the concern coming into the year that Simmons had a lot of penalties last year. So I think when they say he leads FBS, I think it's mostly because of last year, but he had a couple penalties tonight. I think that's coachable. You know, I look at Josh Simmons. He's not getting beat physically. That's mental, and you can definitely coach that out of him. KMW on YouTube. Dave, is it 2002 or 2023? Let's hope it's just like 2002, right? I don't care how many. I don't care if it's the cardiac kids again. Let's win another national championship. Seems to be how it works for the Buckeyes. I mean, even before my time, they entered the 1968 season, the Super Softs. No one expected anything out of that team, national champs. 2002, nobody expected anything out of that team, national champs. 2014, I won't say we didn't expect anything out of them. It was Urban's third year. They went 12-0 his first year, but, you know, then they lose to Virginia Tech early. Braxton was hurt before that. So sometimes it's the years you're not expecting. So we'll see what happens, but wow. We've had a lot of people talk about this. Dov on Facebook. Fryer had a bad penalty called, which he says was a bad call. I agree with that. I talked about this earlier in the show because we see that all the time in football. Some people, I was on Twitter, some people thought that they were saying, oh, what a stupid job by Josh Fryer. That was a dumb penalty by Fryer. I'm like, we see that all the time in football. Offensive lineman pancakes his guy and then jumps on him. He didn't, like, go off the top rope and spear him. It wasn't a dirty play. It was a football play. He pancaked him legally, and he got on top of him to make sure he couldn't get back up. I have never seen that called. I have never seen that called. I've had several people talking about, you know, Ryan Day's play calling. Mike on Facebook's talking about it right now. The problem is, I mean, are you ready to give it up to Brian Hartline? I mean, I don't know. I guess you could be like, well, here you go. I don't know. I mean, he's never called plays before. You got Justin Fry. I know Coach Day leaned on Kevin Wilson a lot. Kevin Wilson now the head coach at Tulsa. I don't know. But you don't see, I mean, I guess it depends. I mean, there have been obviously successful head coaches that have called the offense themselves or called the defense themselves. I prefer a head coach that's more of a CEO that has an offensive coordinator and has a defensive coordinator, but it's not going to happen. Coach Day is not going to give that up. Even though he's Brian Hartline's his offensive coordinator, who's calling the plays? Coach Day. What was all the talk during spring? Will Hartline call plays? We were saying, well, I'll believe it when I see it. We're not seeing it. So, and frankly, I don't think that would be the right move. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think, especially Brian Hartline would be his first year ever of calling plays. I trust Coach Day. I didn't like what I saw tonight, but you got to give Notre Dame credit. That's a good team. It's a good team. Are they a top 10 team? We shall see. They're certainly, you know, a top 20 team. You're playing them at their place. They're fired up. Some things were going their way. For the Buckeyes to show that grit and pull that win out, that says a lot about this team. That says a lot about this team. Glenna on Facebook, cut McCord some slack. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think overall, I was happy with Kyle McCord. I thought he was poised. I thought he wasn't often given, wasn't often put in the best position by the coaches. But he can play better. He'd be the first one to say that. I like his toughness. Even though he's not going to beat you with his legs, he's willing to run. He's a tough dude. You can see the arm talent. You can see why Ryan Day handpicked him. People are like, he made a terrible decision taking Kyle McCord over J.J. McCarthy. Did you see J.J. play today? I mean, he against Rutgers. I mean, J.J. can run the ball. He's not a good passer. Yeah, he had good passing stats against Ohio State last year, but like any of you could have thrown some of those passes. Wide open guys, 30 yards wide open. I'm not saying Kyle McCord's better than J.J. That story is still to be written, but I'm not also not going to say Ryan Day made a mistake because Michigan was not that good last year because of J.J. McCarthy. This is their defense and their running game. So Fred is not a J.J. fan. Fred on YouTube, not a J.J. fan. Joseph, what do I think about Ohio State having their first traditional pocket passer in decades? It's not accurate. Troy Smith was a pocket passer. He won the Heisman. Didn't have that many rushing yards that year. The only Big Ten quarterback to win the Heisman Trophy. So, well, yeah, I mean, Matthew saying no way McCord is as good as Straub. He doesn't need to be. That's true. He's not ever going to be the number two pick of the draft, but he doesn't need to be. Yeah, and Haskins as well. Thank you. Haskins obviously was a pocket passer. And maybe the best one in Big Ten history. I think people forget. He had 50 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and almost 5,000 passing yards in 2018. Dwayne Haskins, 4,900 passing yards, 50 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Despite what Stephen A. Smith once called him a run-first quarterback, despite that, he was not a run-first quarterback. He was a pocket quarterback. So, yeah. Dwayne Haskins, Troy Smith. I mean, got to throw Todd Beckman in there, I guess. They got to the national championship game the year Todd Beckman was a starter. Then he got beat out by Terrell Pryor the next year after a few games, after that USC game. I was there in L.A. for that game. That was not fun. It was not fun. Eric says 59 touchdowns. No, 50. I'm pretty sure he had 50 exactly. I mean, I was sitting there at the Rose Bowl. Now you got me looking this up. Live podcast, my friends. Dwayne Haskins college stats. I'm pretty sure it was 50 exactly. I'll bet you a steak dinner it was 50 exactly. Taking on it? All right, let's see. Let's see. Oh, no, you were wrong. It was 50. 50 touchdowns for Dwayne Haskins in 2018. 50 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I said 7. All right. Well, there you go. But not 59. 50 touchdowns exactly. The people talking to each other in the comment section. Donnie's saying, what are you worried about? McCord was just made. Yeah, okay, yeah. We're liking it. Mike on Facebook, what about Aaron Nolan next year? He'll be a true freshman and he won't play. That's about Aaron Nolan next year. He's not going to start as a true freshman. He just won't. He's actually not having a great year. He's playing against fantastic competition. I love Aaron Nolan. And Aaron Nolan's going to be a really good quarterback here. Do not expect him to come in here and start as a true freshman, though. Not going to happen. No way. All right, keep those comments firing away. Second day of fall. We're now 11 minutes into Sunday morning. I knew we'd go into Sunday morning. Yeah, I almost said like Lincoln Kienholz. Nathan on Facebook's talking about people sleeping on Lincoln Kienholz. And don't forget about Devin Brown. Like it was a really close battle between Devin and Kyle, and Kyle looks good. So now if Aaron Nolan comes in and wins this job next year, great for him. It's just there's no way that's gonna happen. No way that's gonna happen. I appreciate that. Yeah, Caveman saying Air's team is not great. He's dragging them along. Yeah, I can see that because you watch his film last year and at camps. He's the real deal. And it's still early. They play like 4 games. And by the way, it's not like Aaron Nolan's stats are bad. It's just like people are like, man, he's only averaging like less than 200 passing yards. It's like, but yeah, but, I mean, you don't know what his offensive line's like, his receivers, what the deep, and he's playing against the best competition in Georgia, which, as you guys know, is one of the best high school football states in the country. Matt on YouTube saying Notre Dame did not look like a national championship contender, in his opinion. I agree, but Ohio State didn't either. So maybe they were just both really good teams going at it. And that's why I just love that Ohio State was able to pull this out, because that just looked like man, I was going to walk away thinking, like, they should have won the game. If they would have done this, they would have won. They should have won. They should have won. And they won. They won. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. We all know from being sports fans, like, how often do our sports teams, it's like, they outplay somebody, but they lose. Buckeyes got it done. Buckeyes got it done. And if it wasn't for that call on Josh Fryer, I don't know where people are split on that. I think most of you didn't think that was a good call. If it wasn't for that, keep in mind, Ohio State was leading 10-7 at the time. That would have given them a first down like at Notre Dame's 20. So they're at least going to get a field goal, maybe a touchdown to go up 17-7 right there. Late in the third quarter, last play of the third quarter, that was huge. So it's not just like, oh, Ohio State was lucky to win. Like, it felt like that late. But let's look back, though. I mean, you could say Notre Dame was lucky that they ended up getting the 14-10 lead, because Ohio State, that call on Fryer was – in my opinion, horrible. Because like I've said many times, if you're just tuning in, we see that all the time in football. They never call it. Guy pancakes his guy because it's legal. You pancake your guy's an offensive lineman and you jump on him to make sure he doesn't get up. You don't – that wasn't a dirty play. He wasn't in the like grounding and pounding him or anything. He just jumped on him to make sure he couldn't get up. You see it all the time. That was a bad call. And that probably would have put the game away to – maybe not put it away, but if – certainly given Ohio State breathing room early in the fourth quarter. That was the last play of the third quarter. So, Amy agrees that was a horrible call. All right. Good job, Buckeyes. Good job. Way to pull it out. Oh, man. Any final questions before I call it a night? I don't know, TJ. TJ on Facebook, will Day ever call a quarterback sneak? I don't know. I'm glad he didn't on the last play because it worked out well with Chip getting the touchdown. But, man, I'm screaming at the – like, how are you not – and especially don't just do a quarterback sneak. Rush up there. Don't let the defensive line get set. Then it's even easier to get the first down on QB sneak. And if you have 2 inches like they did when they did the Emeka wide receiver sweep, like, come on. 2 inches, just get up there and do a quarterback sneak. I don't get it. Mike on Facebook, what's my thoughts on the offensive line play? I'm looking forward to rewatching the game. I didn't think they played great, but I didn't think they played horrible. I'm looking forward to rewatching it. I really like overall Josh Freier. I mean, I know that we're talking about that penalty, but like, I really, really, really like what Josh Freier brings to the table. He's every bit of 6'6", 320. He's got those super long arms. Like, he's playing good football. And he has been all year. Buckeyes had a right tackle that will mash. I like that. Nathan on YouTube, what do I think about the secondary? I like the secondary. I tell you what, guys, I love Igbinosin. Even though he gets handsy, but what great corner doesn't? He's physical. He's intense. He's long. You look at a 6'2" somewhat skinny corner, you're thinking, is he really going to be physical in the running game? Igbinosin is ready to go. Like, he wants to hit. Like, I love it. And yeah, he's going to get some PIs. That's going to happen. I love Igbinosin. I love Burke. I love Hancock. I love Ransom. I love Styles. Styles had a hell of a play on fourth down. I think the TV guy said it was Ransom. Ransom was in on it. It was Styles that came in from the other side. Bam. It brought Eichenberg on the blitz up the middle, so they couldn't sneak it. Hartman tried to bounce it outside. Sonny said, no, uh-uh. Sonny came home with a vengeance and dropped him for no gain on fourth and one. Huge, huge play by Sonny Styles. So I like this secondary a lot. I like this whole defense, man. I like this whole defense. I want to see more of Mike Hall and Tyleek play great. I want to see Mike, unless they're gassed, I want to see Mike Hall and Tyleek out there as much as possible. As much as possible. And JT stepped up late. Tuimoloau stepped up late. Sawyer had some decent plays early. So Tuimoloau played well late. Michael on Facebook, where's CJ Hicks? They like CJ Hicks a lot. They just Steel Chambers is their guy. Fifth year senior. They like Steel. Steel's playing good football. Played good football last year. So Steel's the guy, and that's CJ's position. So CJ Steel technically could come back next year because of the COVID year. Even though he's a fifth-year senior, so he had a red shirt, he had the COVID year. He could come back as a sixth-year guy. So could Tommy. I think both those guys are going to go. Tommy, to me, is going to be a second-day draft pick, probably third round, if I had to guess. No worse than fourth round, probably third round for Tommy. Steele, I don't think, will be a second-day pick, but probably will be a third-day pick. I don't think he wants to come back for a sixth year, getting ahead of myself. My point is I think CJ Hicks is going to be a big part of this defense next year. And then if he comes back for fourth year the following year, certainly next year, CJ Hicks is going to be a big part of this defense. But you're wondering, why is he not playing right now? It's nothing against CJ. They love CJ Hicks. You can just talk to Knowles about it, talk to James Laurinaitis about it. And James is really the linebacker coach. They like CJ Hicks a lot. They think he's going to be a future star. It's just right now, Steele's ahead of him. That's it. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap this up. I appreciate you guys joining me. Thank you to Dan Rubin. Thank you to Matt Baxendale. Thank you to Steve Hellwagon. Thank you to Patrick Murphy. And, of course, thanks to all of you joining me here Saturday night into Sunday morning for the Buckeyes. Too close for comfort, 17-14 win. Actually, I take that back. Who cares if it's too close for comfort? It was great. They got the win. They beat Notre Dame for the sixth time out of many times in our lifetime. They're 6-0 against Notre Dame in our lifetime. It feels great. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys joining me. Thanks again to all of my guests. Hope everyone has a great rest of your weekend.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.